I always find that an incredibly moving song, so it's quite difficult to come up and speak after that. But I think our prayer of Olive is that we are coming in expectation, and so we wait for God to speak to us. May that be through something I say, or we've sung, or we've heard already. But our prayer is that each of us will hear from God this morning. As Simon has already mentioned, we are returning to our study of the book of Romans, which I can't remember how long ago it was we started, but we've done it in a few chunks, and we're into the final stage during April. We've worked our way so far through 11 chapters, which have at times been quite difficult to get our heads around some of what Paul is saying in those chapters. But now we come to the really hard part of Romans. Not that it's hard to understand, it's just hard to put into practice. And Romans 12, which we're looking at briefly this morning, is about how we can live as God intends us to live, sacrificially, humbly, and differently. So let's start just by reading the first two verses of Romans 12, which will come up on the screen. So just verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And I think those two verses are key to helping us live as God intends us to live. They're about what should be happening to our minds and to our bodies. And I think it really starts with our minds. Verse 2 again. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Here's how this verse has been translated or paraphrased in other versions. So a version that I grew up with in the 60s, the J.B. Phillips version, I've always loved this verse. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remold your minds from within. A more modern paraphrase, the Message version, puts it this way. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit in without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Or in the Good News version, do not conform yourselves to the standards of this world, but let God transform you inwardly by a complete change of your mind. So three different sets of wordings, but all meaning the same thing, that the key to acting differently is thinking differently. If our minds are transformed and renewed by God, then we will be able to follow him and his way much more easily. We can't live the way God wants us to live if we keep thinking the way that the rest of the world does. Or as commentator Tom Wright puts it, having the mind renewed by the persuasion of the Spirit is the vital start of that true human living, which is God's loving will for all his children. God, in his love, knows what is best for us, his loving will. And in order to walk in that, to live at that, we need to have our minds focused and renewed by him. So it's so easy for us to think in line with our culture, our world. Our attitudes to money, to sex, relationships, possessions, and so much more are so easily influenced by what we see and what we hear all around us. But often these attitudes, these ways of thinking, are not the ways of God's kingdom. We have to stop letting the world tell us how to think and how to live. Instead, we have to figure out how to think, speak, and act in a way which is appropriate for a disciple of Jesus. And the way we do that is to ask God to renew our minds, to remould them. So we need to focus on him and what he wants. So now let's go back to verse 1, where we are urged to offer our bodies, our whole selves, as a living sacrifice. And it's quite a shocking picture, really, and a bit hard to get your mind around. Thinking back to the time when they would have been used to sacrifices being made in a temple, and they were all about killing an animal, laying it on the altar. But Paul's not talking about dead things, he's talking about living sacrifices. So that does give us a bit of reassurance that he's not talking about us being burned at the stake or being mauled by lions. This isn't a sacrifice to take our lives away. It's one that requires us to keep on living. It's also not a one-off event. It's a daily act of sacrifice. Sacrifice is about giving up or destroying something which we hold dearly for the sake of a greater purpose. And Christian living isn't about sticking to a set of rules. It's about freely and gladly offering our whole selves to the God whose grace and mercy has come all the way to meet us in our rebellion and sin. We need to die to self so that we can live for him. And we need to keep on doing that. And I think the rest of Romans 12 has some examples of what that actually means in practice. Just going to look particularly at three of them, covering the rest of the thing. So we're going to continue in Romans 12 by reading verses 3-8. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. One of the important things that we need to get our heads around is the call for Christians to live and work together with the people who are not the same as us, to act as one big family, to recognise that none of us are more important than others. Can I have the next slide? We just have different functions in the same way that the different parts of our body have different functions. And one good recent example of this in practice in this church was the way that so many people with differing gifts were needed to make Easter Explored happen. People who had ideas, people with amazing creative gifts, people who were good with words, people with practical skills, people who were good at explaining things to children, people who were willing to make and serve drinks and so on. And all those things, and probably others that I haven't mentioned, were crucial in providing that experience for children and adults. If we'd only had one of those sorts of people, we would not have been able to make that work. And for many of the people involved in that, in Easter Explored, there were sacrifices which needed to be made, mainly in allocating the time that was needed to make the event work. And being a living sacrifice, living sacrificially, means setting aside personal preferences, giving up personal ambitions, and just getting stuck into whatever needs doing using the gifts we have been given. So God calls us and God resources, whether the call is to go and work in Syria or Albania or Wallingford. But that doesn't mean it's not hard work. There will be times when we would much rather drink a cup of coffee than make it for other people. Times when we would much rather take in than give out. Times when we don't want to clean the church or work with children and young people, despite the fact that the need is there and we are capable of doing it. That's what being a living sacrifice entails. But despite the hard work, there is real satisfaction and joy in knowing you are being where God wants you to be and doing what he wants you to do. And I think one key example of that was that young man that we saw, the medical student working in Syria. Not a place that I think any of us really want to be. And he said, it's my dream job. And if you're where God wants you to be, doing what God wants you to do, you have that joy and satisfaction that that young man clearly has. What Paul is saying in this passage is find out each day what God wants you to do, what he has gifted and equipped you for, and then get on and do it. And give yourself to it properly. And don't keep wishing you were somewhere else doing something you think is more exciting and more important. And then in Romans 12, we move on to some verses about how we should love one another, in particular our brothers and sisters in Christ. Love is about what we do, not about what we feel. And there will be times when we need to love despite how we feel. And these verses, these next few verses, are for us all, because we are all called to do these things. Although some of us will be called more to one than another at different times in our lives. And what I just want to do in the next few minutes is just read those verses. And I'm going to read them in three different versions, because different versions can sometimes speak differently to us. As they do, and they'll come up on the screen, just give some time to allow God to speak to each one of us about what he is particularly wanting us to do today, or this week, or this month, or this year. So Romans 12, verses 9 to 13, first of all in the New International Version. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. And then the same verse, same passage from the Message. Love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil. Hold on for dear life to good. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. Don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame. Be alert servants of the Master, cheerfully expectant. Don't quit in hard times, pray all the harder. Help needy Christians, be inventive in hospitality. And then from the Good News Version. Love must be completely sincere. Hate what is evil. Hold on to what is good. Love one another warmly as Christians. And be eager to show respect for one another. Work hard and do not be lazy. Serve the Lord with a heart full of devotion. Let your hope keep you joyful. Be patient in your troubles and pray at all times. Share your belongings with your needy fellow Christians and open your homes to strangers. I think it's helpful to note that this passage mentions, among other things, love, joy, patience, faithfulness, all characteristics Paul describes elsewhere as the fruit of the Spirit. These are qualities which will grow in our lives if we allow God to transform our minds and live for Him. And finally, the last few verses are about how living sacrificially with a renewed mind should show itself in our relationship with those in the wider world. Last few verses of Romans 12. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Revenge, or wanting to get your own back when we have been hurt, is a natural reaction for many of us. But this passage says it is not an option for Jesus' followers. It couldn't be clearer. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, and do not take revenge. We therefore need to find different ways of reacting. Have the next slide. Different ways of reacting, to find creative and surprising ways of dealing with people who have hurt us. This doesn't mean that we are saying that evil isn't real, or we weren't really hurt, or it doesn't matter. Because evil, anything that defaces and distorts, damages or spoils something which God has created, is real, often does hurt, sometimes very badly and with lasting effects, and it does matter. We just have to decide what we're going to do about it. Revenge keeps evil in circulation, whether it's between relatives, between communities such as that went on in Northern Ireland for decades, between countries, many examples around the world, including the areas that Kezia's been talking about. Revenge keeps evil in circulation. But not taking revenge helps evil to die. And that was just a brilliant example of that Kezia talked about the church in Syria, who at first didn't want to welcome these Muslims, seeing them perhaps as the enemy, but actually had a complete change of mind and change of heart. And so instead of taking revenge, they actually blessed and helped. Because not taking revenge helps evil to die. Forgiving, blessing, praying for those who have hurt us will enable us to overcome evil by good. In doing so, we'll be following the example of Jesus, who, as he was being crucified, prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." It's not easy, but it's certainly something which will mark us out as being different. And it's something we're only able to do with God's help, transforming and renewing our minds, enabling us to live his way, sacrificially, humbly, and maybe very differently from our friends, family members, and work colleagues. But as we do that, And as also, we also act in some of the other ways described in this passage, which we haven't had time to look at this morning. But if we act in those ways, I believe that we will be seen as people who are liked and respected, people whom others will be prepared to listen to as we talk about the Jesus whom we love and serve, the one who seemed to let evil conquer him when he died on the cross, but who in fact overcame it with the power of his own love and life, the one who wants others to experience that love and life for themselves. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you call us to follow you, not simply to believe in you, not merely to declare our faith and confess you as Lord, but to keep on following you wherever you lead. Help us to follow in your footsteps wherever you call us to serve, whatever you ask us to do, pursuing the way of love and accepting the road of sacrifice. Loving God, transform and renew our minds, we pray. Help us to be people who are moulded and shaped by you and not by the world. You ask us to offer our whole lives to you, to give our every thought, word and action in your service and for your glory. Help us to understand what that really means, to see every part of every day as an opportunity to serve you, and to approach our work and our leisure times with a desire to see you work in us and through us. Lord, may all that we do be done in such a way that others may recognize your hand upon us, see your spirit within us, and recognize your love, recognize and experience your love that comes from our hearts. For the sake of your name and your kingdom, amen.